It's so good to see you this morning. Glad that you're here. And as you come expecting a blessing from the Lord. And look forward to our 11 o'clock service. Our campers are going to share a song they learned at camp with us. So we're looking forward to that. But be praying for our National Association coming up. And we've got thank you to those that helped with our water day yesterday. Kids all had a great time, and thankful for that. And got another one, probably not a water day, is it? Will it be another water day? Okay, it might be a swim day. Okay, so, but that's in July, so save that on your calendar. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 31. And the I've spent Wednesday night after church. I drove to Mobile, Alabama, and then was there for a day, and then went to Tuscaloosa for a couple days to help folks that had been affected by the flooding and tornadoes from the tropical storm. There's something about human nature. A lot of us, especially men, we don't like to ask for directions, and we don't like to ask for help. We've got, if we're off the beaten path, it's because we're taking the scenic route. And if we're having trouble putting something together, it's just because the pieces weren't cut just right. And we have to finagle them a little bit. When things like that happen, and people are devastated, it's sometimes hard for folks to ask for help. That's part of human nature. I think, especially as Americans, we want to kind of be self-sufficient. And the Bible says that we should look after ourselves. We should meet our needs and take care of our families and those kind of things. But the Bible also reminds us that, hey, listen, there are times when all of us need help. You can't do everything by yourself. That's a hard lesson for some folks to learn, because we want to try to do everything ourselves. And it's oftentimes, again, hard to accept help. But when you need help, you have to be sure you get the right kind of help. If you're building a house, you don't want somebody that doesn't know what they're doing coming and putting it together for you, and running electricity. You want somebody that's real good at electricity, running the electricity for your house, and somebody that's real good at floors to do that, and the air conditioning, especially down here, we want to make sure the air conditioning is working A-okay and super good. So you got to make sure you have the right people. Well, Isaiah is going to remind us, and was reminding the Israelites, that it matters who you ask for help. So let's take a look, and we're going to read all nine verses of the short chapter. He says, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look at the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Yet he is also wise and will bring disaster and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. And the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fail and he who is helped will fall down. They will perish together. For thus the Lord has spoken to me, as a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion and for its hill. Like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. Return to him against whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall throw away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, sin which your own hands have made for yourselves. Then Assyria will fall by a sword, not of man, and a sword not of mankind shall devour him, and he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall become forced labor, and he shall cross over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. Isaiah had just prophecy against some various nations, and then in chapter 30 that we looked at last week, gave this message of hope. He gives them a reminder. So yes, Lord is faithful. God will deliver. But you need to remember, don't trust in yourselves and don't trust in other nations. Remember, that is what got them in trouble from the start. That was the final straw, ultimately, that would break the camel's back, if you will, and ultimately got both the northern and southern kingdoms taken off captive, was the fact that they made alliances with foreign gods. And Egypt at that time was the, you can say, central nation, the power broker or the power center of the world. At that time, they were a large nation and a powerful nation. And so some were tempted. You know, people were afraid. If, you know, just like if you're on the bully's good side, you're not really afraid of him. But if you're on his bad side, that's another story. And you're a little afraid of him. And so Isaiah says, listen, remember what got you into trouble. And it's never good and never works out well is when you trust in yourself or when you trust in others rather than going to God and trusting Him. So often, unfortunately, God is our last resort when He should be the first person that we call out for help. But so often, because we like to, again, do things our way and in our timing and by ourselves, we try everything else first. And as we try everything else first, what happens? The problem gets worse and worse and worse when if we would have just gone to start with, why we would have come out a whole lot better. And so Isaiah reminds Israel and reminds us because, listen, though several centuries separate us from Isaiah's time, we still wrestle with the exact same stuff that they did in Isaiah's day. And God has not changed. God still expects His people to be holy and to live for Him and depend upon Him and look to Him and to understand that it's from Him that our strength comes, not in ourselves and not in these alliances that we make in bad judgment. So Isaiah reminds us three things about the Lord that I want us to talk about this morning. The first is this. He reminds them that the Lord is the Almighty One. See, God is, we know that. We say God is omnipotent. He's omnipotent. Omni means all, and potent is powerful. God is all powerful. We know that. We believe that. We sing about it in some of the songs that we sing. But again, so often we fail to live out that truth. And so he says, you know what? There's going to be trouble to you that look for Egypt for help and rely on all those fast horses and all those strong men that you think are going to deliver you. They're ultimately going to be their undoing. And by the way, God says even those that come to help, they're going to perish by God's judgment. And so are God's people that have disobeyed Him and are turning away from God and toward others for help. They're going to both ultimately meet some doom. And so, listen, God's not in the business of needing others. He's all-powerful. He's all-sufficient. You're not. Egypt's not. America's not. Egypt at that time had lots of money and lots of, you know, ore. They had lots of power. They had lots of stuff. And yet God would ultimately, you know, have the last word. And so I said, listen, God, you know, so you're to not avoid the Holy One of Israel. You're to that the Holy One of Israel is who you're to look for your help. Remember, David said that God, the Lord, is a very present help in time of trouble. God wants to be there for you. But by the way, let me also just pause for just a second that if we don't worship God and we're not living for Him and we don't have that relationship when things are going good, we better not expect Him to show up when things are going bad. So often we're guilty of treating God like a get-out-of-jail-free card. And that's not how He works. And that's not how our relationship works with Him. And so Isaiah reminded, listen, God is all-powerful. He's almighty. And so, you know, He's going to take care of you. He'll protect you. He'll fight for you. So who do you want on your side? You know, there's one of the insurance commercials that's coming on television. It talks, I think it's insurance. It had, you know, choices that may, and they've got some kids out on the ball game, and LeBron James, the great big huge basketball player that's real famous, is there, and they pick him first. Well, duh. Yeah. Of course. And so we have, as we are selecting a team, and by the way, we do choose whether we go to the Lord or whether we don't. He doesn't force His way on us. And so we need to, as big and bulky as LeBron James is, God is even more powerful and even more strong. And so why on earth would you not want to rely upon the one who's the strongest and the one that has the best track record? See, God has never lost a battle that He's fought. He's undefeated. And He always will be, so I'm thinking we probably better bet on Him. And Isaiah says, hey, listen, you see the results of what happens when you pick losers for your team and you pick the wrong ones. He said, instead, pick God, for heaven's sakes. God is there for you, and God wants to fight for you, and He will if you'll depend on Him. If you'll trust in Him, if you'll live for Him. So don't look for those that work evil just because they seem like they're the expedient thing to do. Instead, you trust in the Lord, because the Lord can defeat armies of millions. God can defeat because He's all-powerful. And so it doesn't matter what armies or enemies or things are coming against you, guess who has the power to solve them and to overcome those things? It ain't you. It ain't your Sunday school teacher. It's not your pastor. It's not your spouse. It's God Himself. It's God Almighty. And so Isaiah says, hey, remember, people, as we go forward, remember, don't look to Egypt for help. Don't look for any earthly person for help. You look to God Almighty for help. You look to the Lord of hosts, the great ruler and creator of heaven and earth. You go and you get help from Him. And again, we're reminded all throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament, God is always there for us. And whatever problems you think you have, God is able to take care of them. That doesn't mean that God just makes those problems go away. He doesn't. That's not how that works. But God gives us grace and the ability to get through those things in His power and His strength and His help. And so he says, you know what, the Lord is the Almighty One. And then secondly, Isaiah reminds us, not only is God Almighty, but secondly, he reminds us that the Lord is the Avenging One. He said, listen, you're trusting in Egypt, and you think they're going to save you? They're not going to save you from trouble. And they're not going to save you from the judgment of God. And in fact, when you trust in them, you're only inviting God's judgment. And so, you know, and so he said, God is going to come and he is going to overtake those that are doing evil in his world and those that are contrary and working against his people. God ultimately has the last word. He ultimately wins the war. We've got the end of the book. We know that, don't we? And yet, so that's it. You know what? I'm not. So his point of is this, that God's not going to forget it about the choices that we've made and the alliances that we've made. But he's also not going to forget his people. And he's not going to forget his promises. Because the thing is, when God makes a promise, he keeps it every single time. God has never made a promise that he hasn't kept. When he says something, you can take it to the bank that it's true. And that should be a wonderful comfort to us to know. Because there are very, very few sure things in this world. But there is one constant sure thing. And it's the Lord Almighty. And it's the Lord that avenges his people. Because though it seems like, and he says, you know, sometimes it seems like evil is overwhelming us and it's winning. We say, no, it may look like that sometimes. But oh, the game's not over till the game's over. And so he says, listen, remember that God will avenge his people. And not only will he avenge his people, he will avenge his name. Because when we say, and this is what Israel was doing and what got them in trouble, is that they would say, hey, listen, we're God's people. But they were living like the world. And they said, you know what? Yeah, we've got God on shelf and we're the frozen, chosen people of God. And, you know, we just, you know, do what we want and trust that, hey, God's going to say, hey, that's all right, kid. Come on, you know, that's fine. No, that's not how it works. That God will punish us when we disobey him. And there is always, listen, sin always destroys. It always kills. Isaiah hammers that home over and over and over again, and we still need to be reminded of that message because sin, even in 2021, guess what? It hasn't gone away. And in fact, if anything, it's gotten more alluring and more tempting. And more rampant in our world. You don't have to go far to find sin. If you want to find trouble and you go looking for it, you're going to find it. And so Isaiah's message is, listen, do not go looking for it. Instead, look for God. And so he says, listen, I'm going to avenge my people, but he also says, I'm going to avenge my name. And so the people, when they live contrary to what they say they believe, that reflects on God. And it hurts our testimony. And I know a lot of people, chances are you do too, that, one of the great excuses that they give for not trusting Christ as Lord and Savior and being a part of a local church is, hey, listen, there's just a bunch of hypocrites there at that church. And unfortunately, sometimes we earn that label because we say one thing on Sunday, but then when Monday morning comes, we live something totally different. And people notice that. Not only does that affect our witness and our name, more importantly, it reflects God and his name. And so God said, you know what? I'm going to avenge my people. I'm going to this remnant that's going to be saved, and, you know, I'm going to redeem the world, you know, and bring this thing back to a victory. He also reminds us that those that work against him are going to lose, and that he's going to punish them. He's going to punish them severely, even though it seems sometimes evil in this world, people get away with evil. And listen, people may think they do in this life. Often they don't. Eventually it catches up to them. But even if they do escape judgment in this life, they're absolutely surely not going to escape judgment in the next life. Because God will hold them accountable. And God will bring judgment. And so Isaiah says, you know what? He is the avenging one. He will avenge his people and he will avenge his name. And then lastly this morning, not only is God almighty and not only is he avenging, but lastly, the Lord is the amazing one. He said, not only does God, you know, redeem us, not only is he all powerful, not only does he promise to bring judgment, but God changes our lives. He brings victory where we only see defeat. He brings hope when we see despair. And only he can do that. And so he says, you know what? Assyria is going to fall by the sword, but hey, not the sword of man. It's the sword of God. And, you know, the strongholds that those folks have are going to be broken. And in fact, they're going to turn tail and run. It's basically what he says. And what's so amazing is not God's power and not God's judgment, but he says in verse 6, return to him against whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. In verse 7, for in that day every man will throw away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, sins which you with your own hands have made. You see, there's enough trouble out there that we can find sin. But Isaiah reminds us sometimes we take our own hands and we make sin ourselves. That we don't have to go find it. We conjure it up. And the thing is Isaiah is reminding us that when God saves you, when you come back to the Lord, what happens? Those things, that those idols that you've built and that sin that you've created, you cast away. Say, you know what? I don't want that anymore. I want life instead of death. I want joy instead of misery. I want peace instead of fear. And guess how all that comes? It comes in knowing and walking and living with the Holy One of Israel, God Almighty. And that's made possible to us in our day and time by the wonderful, amazing grace that we found in the person of Jesus Christ. That though we were sinners, though we had rebelled against God, God loved us so much that he sent his only Son. Whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what's so amazing about God, is that God loves us even when we have just spat in his face, kicked him in the guts. He still loves us. And he'll forgive us. And he'll use us. And so he says, listen, understand that when you come back to God and you understand that he's the help that you need, you get rid of all of those idols that you've made. And I remind us that anything can become an idol. We don't have little statues that we bow down to in our culture, but we got a lot of stuff we bow down to in culture that we've made idols. idols is anything we serve and worship in place where God belongs. Sometimes jobs can become idols, and sometimes kids can become idols, and sometimes things, possessions. I know some folks that sports becomes an idol, and, you know, or fishing, or you know, there are all kinds of things that we make into idols. And it's not the things themselves that are bad. Gold and silver, I think we all would agree, is good. In fact, if you got some of it these days, you're in good shape because it keeps getting more and more expensive. So the gold and silver wasn't the issue. It's what the people did with it. And the baseball or the football or the fish or the deer are not the issue. The issue is what we do with those things. And if we love those things as much or more than God, they are idols to us. And idols don't give life. What do? They destroy and kill. And there are plenty of things that seem good and harmless that have taken plenty of people away from a relationship with God. And so the key of not letting that happen again, like it happened to Israel, is learning what caused that problem to start with. And what caused the problem to start with was trusting in other people and not looking to God. And the same thing happens in 2021 when we look to other people or to stuff rather than God. Stuff and people are not bad. Most of the time they're good. But when we misuse them, they become very, very bad and very destructive. And so despite our destructive tendencies, God still loves us and God is willing to change us and to make us new. And so Isaiah uses this example of throwing away the gold and silver. What he's saying is, listen, that gold and silver is not what rules your life anymore. And in fact, you don't bow down to it. You don't serve it. Instead, you trust in God. And if God happens to send a lot of gold your way, or if God happens to send you, Brother George, a bunch of nice, cool, sunny days to play golf, then you enjoy those things that God sends. But don't you dare make them God. And don't you dare let them take the place of God in your life. And so God, so Isaiah reminds us here as we close up this morning, the Lord, the Bible says it this way. You remember what Job said? He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I understand that everything we have is from God. And be reminded that if we aren't good stewards of what God has given us, God's going to take it away from us. And if we fill our life with things that are bad for us and fill our lives with things that are sinful, guess what's going to happen? It's going to destroy us. So though you may not be taken captive by the Assyrians and overdone, you know what? Sin will overtake your life and it will destroy you, sure enough. There's only been one person to ever walk this earth that's ever overcome and defeated sin. And his name was Jesus, and none of you are him. And so Isaiah gives us this great reminder that, hey, listen, God is all-powerful. And he reminds us that God will avenge his people in his name and that God sheds amazing grace on us every day. He is the one that is able to change our lives and to change our desires and to change our wants and to change our direction even when no one else can. And the thing is that when God does that and God gives us that testing, gives us that testimony. God uses that testimony, even that bad stuff that we've done, for His glory and His good, to help others. Because, friends, I'm going to tell you, we wrestle with those things as believers, but this world is in a hot mess right now. And though, you know, a lot of people are thinking that one political party or another political party is going to save the day, no political party is going to save the day. But there is one person who can, and only one. And His name is Jesus Christ. And you have that hope, and you have that knowledge. You've experienced that amazing grace in your life personally. And there are people all around you that need to experience that as well for themselves. And so you make sure that you depend upon God, that you walk with Him, that you know He's the Almighty One, and when you have issues and things that go on in life, you call out to Him. And you trust Him to fight battles for you. You lose all the time, and I lose all the time. God's never lost. And He never will. And trust that God is the amazing One. That He's able to shed amazing grace, not only in your life, but also upon the life of all the whosoevers that will call upon His name. And I'm thankful for that. And I hope you are too. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your love to us. Thank You that You are always there for us. Lord, this message this morning from Isaiah, may it pierce our heart and challenge us to remember that You are always there for us. Help us to remember to walk with You and lean on You and depend on You for all that we need. And know that You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Lord, we pray that You would help us to remember these important truths, and that You would help us to internalize them and live them out. And Lord, as we go to Sunday school this morning, we pray that You would just speak to our hearts, bless each teacher and each class, and Lord, help us to have a hunger for Your Word. And help us to live it out, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.